Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
And say the bill has been paid. He fixed it. Oh yeah, oh yeah. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. We are rejoicing in the love of the Lord, and we are rejoicing in the fixing of Jesus Christ. Jesus fixed it, whatever it may be. If you went to the hospital the other day and they told you we couldn't find nothing wrong with you, he fixed it. Did you go to the courtroom and the judge said we threw out the case? He fixed it. Did you go outside and start up your car? You know you had no oil, no gas, nothing in the car, and it came on. He fixed it. Did he get you to your destination and back home safe? He fixed it. He fixed it. He fixed it, and he will continue to fix it as long as we trust and believe in him. Amen, amen. Let's go to the throne room in prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for what you've already fixed. Thank you for your presence in our homes. Thank you for your presence in our hearts. Thank you for your spirit being part of us, God. Thank you for your precious blood that you shed on Calvary, Father. We thank you. We glorify you. We praise you. We lift you up. We worship you, Jesus, because it's all about you. It's about your praise. It's about lifting you up, and it's about thanking you on a daily basis. Now, Father God, bless those who don't know you. Bless those who still trying to find you, and bless those who might have backslidden and might fell down. Lift them up and show them the cross. Put the cross back on their back, Father, and show them that you can fix it. We love you. We praise you. We ask you to bless our family, friends, and loved ones, and even our enemies on today. We know it's already fixed, so we thank you for the fixing. And we said this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that song. I love that song. It just fits right in with the way I just felt on today. It's just a nice little tempo. But the words let you know, the songstress lets you know that he will fix it. We just got to believe that it's already fixed. Amen. I don't care if it looks like it's broken in a million pieces. Just praise his name and it shall be fixed. Even if it's not fixed the way we want it fixed, if Jesus fixed it, it's completely fixed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take up much of your time this evening. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know some of y'all are coming off your celebration of the 4th of July, coming off your celebration. Some of y'all might continue, might have family, friends, and guests. If they're there, tune into the radio station with them while you're celebrating and eating your barbecue and eating your hamburgers and your corn on the cob. Let them know that the word of God still has to go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. And let them know every day in Christ is Independence Day. Because if you're in Christ, believe me, oh, you're just so free of independence because the Lord is keeping us. We're going to be in the book of Philippians this evening, and I promise you not to be long. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be at chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And we're going to rejoice in the Lord. We're going to break down the joy barriers. We're going to lavish the love of God. And we're just going to do so many things in Jesus. But the thing we won't do is be anxious. We will be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Please go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4 through verse 9. And the very first word is rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in your promotion and not rejoice in your new marriage and not rejoice with your firstborn child and not rejoice in the celebration of the fireworks, but rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul was so direct. He was right on and focused on us living and rejoicing in God. Amen. He was just so on point. He used the word joy. After we read this, we're going to find out how he used the word joy so many times in this letter. Amen. We're going to talk about even him talking about rejoicing in prison. Some of us is free, new homes, good jobs, good husband, good wife, nice family, and still won't rejoice. Paul rejoiced in prison. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Being thankful, y'all. Let your requests be known. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, so ever things are true,
whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Hallelujah. I just got to read verse 9 to make it complete. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those of us who have shepherds that we know that are praying, those of us who have mates and significant others or brothers and sisters, and you watch as they pray, and you watch as they fast, and you watch as they love with a kind heart and a pure heart, and they try their best to live as honest as possible. Those are things we should mimic. Because when we're in the world, we watch the so-called cool cats with the hats broke down, the big cars and money and stuff, and we try to mimic those. Or she got long hair, she got nice nails, and she wears size 2 waistline, and she has this perfect strut, and she's always popping gum when she talks. We try to mimic those things. She smokes so sexy. We try to mimic those things. But we're not in the world anymore. We're in it. We're not of it. And I'm trying to say this to say, rejoicing in God is our new part of our new way of celebrating. Instead of partying and gambling and doing, we're rejoicing, because the things that the people of the world are doing, we're not doing anymore. We're trying to strengthen ourselves to go back to the world to bring them out of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about a deep down joy, because Paul repeatedly uses the word joy in this particular letter that we just read. His attitude is nothing short of supernatural in light of the fact that he wrote this letter while sitting in a prison cell. And if anybody's ever been in a prison cell, been in a prison, there's nothing about you and a guy twice your size, you don't know a perfect stranger, you eat what they tell you to eat, you eat when they tell you, when they tell you to eat, you go to the bathroom when they tell you to go to the bathroom. There's no freedom, there's no privacy, there's only anger buildup, there's only confusion and pain and wishing I did better, and it's just almost a physical beat down, it's an emotional drainage. But Paul, even in prison, he stayed joyful. He stayed rejoicing. And that is a strength. That is a weapon. And I know it's not, I know it's easily said than done, because there's moments where you just don't feel like rejoicing. But if we do rejoice, the moment will go away, because we'll be so deep into the spiritual realm. We'll be so deep into that place with Christ. We'll be reaching out and touching and holding and embracing and crying and weeping and just thankful that we'll never remember how and why we got there. See, everything God designs, he designs it for us to get closer to him. If we really look at it, he designs the pain for us to cry out to him. He designs the lack for us to trust in him. He designs death for us to understand that there's a place waiting for us to rejoice in. Go home. But while we're here, we rejoice until the day he comes and get us. And I know it's not easy, and I know it's not easy, but once we find that tool of rejoicing, wow, just to sit back, I could be in the dark and the water is not running. Oh, but I can think about that time when God sent me on a vacation. I ain't had no money, don't know how I was going to get there. The water was blue, it was peaceful, the sun was shining, and the people was just giving me everything on credit. You just got to remember what God has done to make you rejoice. Always go back to Jesus. We will always find a reason to rejoice. Oh, you stumped your toe. The pain was, ooh, increasing. Ooh, it just irked it. Oh, when you said, oh, God, it's almost like as soon as you spoke it, he removed it because he don't want us in pain. The more you kept saying, oh, Jesus, oh, my God, Lord, Jesus, ooh, ooh, before you know it, it done went away, and you done called Jesus' name so many times that night, you went right into prayer. You went right into praise. You went right up into worship because calling his name brings his presence. When you bring his presence, you bring a realm of joy, healing, deliverance. It comes with the power of God to do just that, what it was set out to do. And that is to heal, deliver, whatever the pain may have been. Amen. Paul knew that there are no debtors around hardship in this life. And he knew that we all have a share of suffering. But while we can't control whether or not we experience hardship, we can control our response to it. We just spoke on that. We can control our response to it. Instead of being overcome by despair when difficulties strike, we can choose to be joyful. How? How I'm be joyful and all this is going on in my life. First, by presenting our requests in prayer to God and trusting God to handle the answers in his time. That's part of the major key. We got to trust God to handle the situation in his time. Oh, it might look gloomy. It might look bleak. And I am a total witness. Nobody told me this. I witnessed this. That 12th hour, that 59th minute, and that, what was 60 seconds in a minute? 59 seconds. Won't he do it? Soon as that minute went, listen, the phone rang. Yes, you have been approved. Yes, the home is yours. Yes, listen, it's his timing. Let us not get distraught or even more because the enemy will love that. Because then we'll start walking out of the will of God. We even get to the point, being honest, that we even stop trusting God at that moment. We try to fix it ourselves. Anytime we try to fix it ourselves, I ain't trusting God right now. And you can say what you want. Oh, I trust him. I just want to fix it. If you wanted to fix it, you would trust him. You wouldn't try to fix it. We would just leave it alone and trust God to do it the proper way, the right way, where the results is going to be different without any consequences. See, when God fixes something, we automatically rejoice. He ain't doing it but bringing us closer to him. To be able to testify to someone else, how can you testify to somebody about rejoicing and going through if we never want to go through nothing? We just want God to just give us this. Open up the heaven. Here you go. Everything you need. Here go $1 billion. Here go an island. Here go 50 cars. Here go 18 airplanes. Unlimited cash. Unlimited credit. You're going to be beautiful forever. You're going to be 19 forever. Just have fun. It don't go that way. You'll turn your back on Jesus soon as the heavens close back up. Soon as you find out you got that first air, oh, my God. Ain't got near license, near airplane license. Don't know how. I'm just saying. Like, God does everything to bring us closer. And just imagine if we do our part to get closer to him. We meet right up in the middle because he ain't went nowhere. He's just waiting with open arms. That's my baby. That's my son. That's my child. I know he's suffering. I know he's a little crazy. I know she's bipolar. I know she don't always say the right things. I know she ain't always thinking right. I still love her. I created her in my image. And I know she's going to be better because she has the thing called faith. She rejoices in me. She praises me. She fasts and trusts. She calls on my name first thing in the morning. So what? She don't look like everybody, like the magazines she says she's supposed to look. So what? She don't have everything the world says she's supposed to have. But she has everything that I've given her. And I will do the activation in her powers. I will activate her spirit. I will activate her beauty on my time. I will give her gracefulness in my time. I will give her wealth in my time. I will give her power in my time. I will give her health and healing in my time. It has to come to a place and time in our life. We back up and say, Father, it's time out for me, and all time is on your time. My time now is on Jesus' time. I know what I want, but I know what God has for me is better. And if anything that I want don't line up with Christ, I don't want it. And I know if you say, well, you said, listen, been there, done that. I'm a simple person, a basic person. Don't need a lot of excitement. My excitement comes from praising and worshiping God. My excitement comes from me seeing someone else get saved. My excitement comes from watching someone go to the altar with their whole family and give their life to Christ and live holy, and then go back in their community and grab their friends and neighbors and go back in their community and grab their families. That's where my excitement comes from. I done had all that other crazy. That wasn't even excitement. That was insanity. I done went through that. I ask God on a daily basis, hold on to me and don't let me free. Only time I want Christ to free me up is I'm on the mission to do thus saith the Lord. And he's directing my path. He's girding my tongue. He's speaking through me. He's guiding me. And he's trusting me to do it the way he said do it. Hallelujah. We got to remember that we belong to the greatest and most powerful and most wonderful and loving God there will ever be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But instead of being overcome by despair, when difficulty strikes, we can choose to be joyful, presenting our requests and prayer to God and trusting God to handle the answers in his time. Second, by saturating our mind with whatsoever things are true. How many of us, if we're honest, on a daily basis, need our minds saturated? I mean, saturated. Sometimes we just need our minds to be baptized, just dipped into the water. Looks like tar, because some of our minds is just so funky, just so filled with junk. And we have to learn to saturate our minds on a daily basis with things that are true, and whatsoever things that are honest, and whatsoever things are just. We just read that in verse 8. Amen. So in doing so, we focus on how great God is instead of how difficult our circumstances are. When we start focusing on how good God has been to us, oh, it's enough to rejoice for a lifetime. You can think back to before you were saved, those dangers seen and unseen, that man or that woman that you know was no good for you. Oh, how he got us out of some relationships, how he got us out of some situations, how he kept us healthy, how he kept grandma and grandpa around just a little bit longer, how he just made dad just love on us a little bit better, how when we was in need, he used a family member to just heal that boo-boo, give you that special hug, give you that special, say that special thing to you to give you confidence that we can go on. He has never left us. He will never leave us. And he will never forsake us. He loves us unconditionally. If we just stay out the past, look at the past as a raggedy car with no transmission, flat tires, the engine is missing, the windshield is gone, the roof is gone, the tailpipe got a stick of dynamite in it and it's lit. Would you keep going back to get in it? Stay out of the past and let's move forward. Let's rejoice on that day. If we start fresh with a fresh rejoicing in the morning, if you start fresh, oh, with a fresh prayer in the morning, if you start fresh with a worship every, just for no reason. Just, you know, I listen to First Lady sometime and she just be talking and we could just be in the middle of a conversation and she would just go on, oh, yes, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. Lord, I know. And I'm sitting there sometimes, what we just talking about, what did you, but I got the understanding that no matter what's going on, she's still making time for the Lord. We could be happy, we could be sad, we could be going through whatever it is. She never counts God out, which means God is first in her life. And because I love her enough, I respect that. I'm not jealous of her relationship with God. Listen, listen, if you with somebody and they start that jealousy about you always reading the Bible, you always praying, not knowing that it's your prayers that's keeping them, not knowing that the word that you read to the Bible is strengthening you to pray a little harder for them. Oh, God, listen. Go to the Lord and say, Father God, what should I do? He will give you an answer because God is not going to put no one with you to stop you from praising him, stop us from worshiping him. That's why we have to rejoice. I'm just going to give out information on tonight. Please don't let the information just sit on the desk or just sit on your lap till you stand up and it fall through the floor. Use it. You might know somebody else who might need to hear this. Use it. God is equipping us with information. We don't have to be no great engineer, no great scientist, and no great way brainiac. God has given us power through his words. Heal, deliver, love, speak, hug, cherish, rejoice. Rejoice. Trust. Rejoice. Trust. Rejoice. It's going to be okay. Hallelujah. And finally, by following the example of Paul and others who have put their faith into practice, woo, and experienced joy in spite of hardships. When we do these things, we'll begin to see both trials and joys as gifts from God. Ain't that something? We'll begin to see trials as a gift. And I believe that. I believe that. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that. We have to continue to focus on godly things. I'm in a place and I listen and I hear when God says, I think because I've been in the world for so long and of the world for so long, he reminds me that I'm not of it. I'm of his kingdom. I'm of his royalty. And sometimes we have to come out of that thing or that place that's keeping us from getting to God, that's keeping us from rejoicing. Your day can start off one way. Oh, but he will fix it. He will fix it. It can start off with confusion. It can start off wrong. It can start off with anger. It can start off, he will fix it if we just rejoice. You could be talking about one thing and get a phone call. And before you know it, whatever that thing that was bothering you, it's already gone. And in the midst of that thing being gone, here's a solution. And in that solution, soon as you get to the place where the solution supposed to go through, something else happens. But guess what? God will give you another solution. Because he has already made a way in advance, knowing that these things was going to happen. See, oh, he's already ahead of us. He's already ahead of us. But because we rejoice in him, because we are praising him, and because we are loving and trusting and believing in him, he already made that crooked thing straight. It's when we just don't spend time with God 24 hours a day. How much time do he get from us? And we have to be honest with yourself about that one. I can't speak on how much time another person gives to God. But we have to focus on godly things because Paul told the Philippians that they should rejoice in the Lord because he has blessed them and giving them life. He told them to keep their minds off things that are not good. Keep our minds off things that are not good. Keep, if that ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend or ex-fiance, why are you thinking about them? So what, they fired you from that old job? Why are you still thinking about it? Oh, my car just ain't running. So what? Why are you thinking about it? Because when we put our minds and hearts in the things of God, that nonsense goes away and God will fix it. Because when we are spending time with him, he is fixing the situation. Because he'll give you another out. He'll give you another way. He'll give you a knock on the door. He'll give you a phone call. He will always, always go ahead of us and fix it. Because these are, how you say, these are things that are noble and true and good. They are things that Christ would have wanted them to focus on. But Paul said they should always, always put this into practice so that they may live in Christ with steadfast love. Always love. Stay still, love. Don't move, love. He's always there. He wants us there. We got to start breaking the joy barrier. And from chapter 4, maybe, okay, we just read chapter 4 from verses 4 through 7. Because God is working, he's working all things for the good. And if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. You know, we say stuff like that. If God brings me to it, he'll bring me through it. Well, these are common cliches that we always say. They, you know, it's something that Christians, it's like a Christian lingo. You know, we have these certain things that we say. So how much of it do we really believe? How much of it is just a cliche, or how much of it is really faith? And while such things that we speak are rooted in us, we begin to think that because we say it, you know, and we're feeling a different way. We say it but don't mean it. Oh, highly favored. I'm blessed by the best. But inside you've been tormented in your mind. Your stomach is just aching because you're depressed and you don't feel like being bothered and you're just going through and you don't know why. Well, it's a spiritual sickness. You ever be stressed out in the natural? You ever be so stressed that you get sick and you don't want to eat and you start losing weight? It's the same thing spiritually, but the only difference is we start losing power. We start losing faith. We start stop trusting and believing in the Lord. And we try to fix it, and we're breaking it more than we're fixing it. Amen. Hallelujah. These cliches that we talk about, they can sound glib if not delivered with care. In the book of Philippians chapter 4:4, that could easily fall into this category for hurting people, a natural response to Paul's exhortation. To always be full of joy might be, yeah, right. And we say that, yeah, right. I ain't always full of joy. And to be honest, I'm not always full of joy, but I'm always full of God. And what I'm saying by that is I know how to get to him. I know how to rejoice in him. I trust him enough that he'll fix it. I trust him enough to know that I'll wait until he fixes it. I trust him enough to know that it's going to get fixed, even if it's not then, at that moment, at that hour, that week, that month. I know somewhere down the line it's going to be fixed if I just stand and trust and rejoice in the Lord. If I continue to praise him, if I continue to worship him, if I continue to fast and trust and believe in him, it's going to get fixed. And I'm going to be empowered, and I'm going to be packed with more God. So when the next trial come along, it makes it just that much easier. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone rejoice about what? Break the barriers is one of a kind. When touring, okay, I don't know how many people watch gymnastics, say gymnastics. So if you're with the gymnastic team
that they practice a certain way and they exude so much joy and excitement through the show. They dancing and flipping and hopping and everything. And it's easy to miss the fact that the performers all have disabilities. Young people clad in colorful leotards leap and fly through the air to a booming soundtrack, Janet Jackson, Beyonce, whoever it may be. But a teenager with Down syndrome pushes the wheelchair of a child with cerebral palsy. Adult spotters keep watch as the kids construct human pyramids. A couple of stronger boys even carrying smiling kids in wheelchairs over their heads. The audience is both awestruck and inspired by the young people who radiate joy as they also build awareness and understanding for those impacted by disability. Now, had Paul been in the audience for a Break the Barriers performance, he would have led the standing ovation. Throughout his letter to the Philippians, Paul challenges fellow believers to trust in God's sovereignty and joyfully live their faith, live in faith, live out their faith, live in faith, live out their faith, regardless of our circumstances. It is a message found in both the Old and New Testament, and one Paul himself likely wrestled with as he faced suffering and persecution. Some has theorized that he may have had a disability of his own. There's something intriguing about an individual who can maintain joy in their circumstances. Perhaps they played a part in God's decision not to remove the thorn in Paul's flesh. Despite his fervent request, rejoice always. Everyone, rejoice. Listen, look at people in Florida. Look at the people, tornadoes are tearing their homes and houses down. People are still dying. We have no excuses not to rejoice and praise God. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. And I know that you're probably tired of hearing it and don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. But we have to trust in God with all our heart. We have to lean not on our own understanding. Oh, but in all our ways, trust in him. Oh, trust in him. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. We'll have a song and we'll be right back.
Everybody ought to hold on to God.
won't leave you. No, he won't.
Welcome to MCI Ministry Radio. This is our announcements. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m., you will be on the air with no other than the one and only, amen, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. On Monday night at 6 p.m., your fix at 6 with Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. On Tuesday night, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, at 6 p.m. On Wednesday night, Weekly Word Workout with Lady T, Undisputed Truth Ministry, at 6 p.m. Also, don't forget about Friday night. Friday is Fresh Fire Friday, the blowing of the shofar. You get praise and you get worship songs. And Pastor Matthew McNeil also brings a refreshing word, Fresh Friday Fruit. You don't want to miss none of these days. We thank God for you, you and you. And if you like to be a blessing to the ministry, you may do so or sponsor. You can reach us. Our ministry phone number is 302-883-9799. Also, if you'd like to contact us, you can also reach us at mci2621@yahoo.com. For all prayer requests, you can dial 302-883-9799, text or call, or use our email address. We thank God for you, you and you. May you have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you all. Jesus loves you, and so do we.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, First Lady. Not people don't know what a burden she took off of me at this radio show, because remembering all those shows and remembering email addresses and remembering phone numbers, and that's just wisdom from the Lord. I mean, it may sound simple to sit back and remember every show host and the titles of their show and the days and times they come on and the songs and the email addresses and the sponsors and sponsorships and announcing that we have the new criteria that we have going forward, looking for sponsorship, thanking the individuals who have blessed the ministry and continue to bless the ministry. It's not an easy task. It may sound easy for someone who's sitting around not doing anything. Oh, I could have did that. Yeah, you probably could have, but you couldn't have did it with the anointing that it's done with. And that's not to badger you or anything, but it's what it is to remind us that when God gives us assignments, how he expected to be done in decency and in order. And that's what First Lady has been doing ever since she lent her helping anointed hand with the ministry. And like I always say, we probably don't say it enough. We ought to have a First Lady Day. Maybe one day we should have First Lady Day, have all the listeners call in and donate something to her, tell her how wonderful they appreciate her, and even the staff here. Because I believe in letting people know that they're appreciated. And I know God knows and believes that she's appreciated, because he gives her the endurance and gives her the wisdom and gives her the steadfast power and gives her everything she needs to do what she do for the building of the kingdom of God. With all that being said, I say thank you. I appreciate you. And I appreciate all that you do for MCI Ministry Radio. Amen. Glory to his magnificent name for you. And I thank God for you and the anointing that he has placed upon you. And I thank him for everything good in you, because anything that's not good in you, he's going to change anyway. Likewise for myself. But I thank him for you as a friend, my best friend, my wife, my soulmate, my laughing partner, my movie partner, my gym partner, my cleaning partner. We do almost everything together, even argue, even try to fix stuff together. We just two humble servants trying to do the work of the Lord. We ain't on no high horse. We ain't thinking we're better than nobody. We just trust in God and the things that he put in us. We just want to do the will of God, what he told us to do and what he asked of us to do and what he's called us to do. And that's what God wants from all of us. Amen. I just wanted to share that, because I believe people ought to be appreciated and not wait until they're gone to say, oh, I should have said that. They were so nice. They always did this. No, I want you to know why you're here, that you're appreciated, that I thank God for you, and I love everything that he allows you to do for ministry as well as me, because she makes some of the best chicken. I'm going on and on about my wife, so we're going to get back. I just was sitting and I was looking at something, and I just want to share. I just want to share, and I swear I'm going to get right back to the lessons. While getting married takes only a few minutes, being a good husband takes a lifetime. God places a premium on a husband's role. And Paul emphasized that fact by giving the Ephesian men a short course in being better husbands. Unfortunately, some men and women who read the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I think verses 22 through 33, get sidetracked on Paul's instructions concerning wives' responsibility to submit to their husbands. Such people make the critical mistake of overlooking verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Marriage requires mutual submission and attitude that doesn't always come naturally. Hallelujah. It's in the context that Paul tells husbands they're to provide their wives with leadership, not a heavy-handed, domineering, I'm the boss kind of leadership, but the kind of leadership Christ exercised over the church. Servant leadership. And if you go to the book, we just came out the book of Philippians, but if you go to chapter 2, verses 3 to 1, it explains it a little more, because this powerful image shows the degree of commitment that God requires of husbands as Christ gave his life for the church. So husbands are to give their lives for their wives and are to always put their wives, listen, I know the husbands listen, always. Now, if this will be a Christian man, you try to be a Christian man, it comes with the territory. Always put their wives' needs before their own. Ooh, I know some women that's married shouting on that one. In the context of such leadership, following becomes a delight. Godly leadership begins with a servant's heart. That servant attitude runs the gauntlet from the daily issues of basic housework and child care to major issues such as seeking her opinion first when new career opportunities arise. And we had to take a minute to read what I just said to you. Take a minute to reread those passages and think of some specific, concrete ways you can be a servant to your wife. Determine that by the grace of God, your love for her will emanate and it will evolve and it will be accepted as Christ's complete and sacrificial love for the church. And otherwise, love your wives like Christ loved the church. I know I went off the topic, but talking about appreciation, we were talking about rejoicing in the Lord, and I just wanted to take time to rejoice in the Lord by saying thank you, Father, for my wife. Thank you, Father, for my significant other. Thank you for my best friend. And I wanted to praise him for that and rejoice, because only God can have someone stay with a person like me. If she was not saved and she was not of God, we probably wouldn't be married. And that's probably not just my marriage. If people be honest, it's the love of the Lord that keeps a lot of marriages together. God called the two people to go through what they had to go through, but in the midst of going through, they strengthen each other. You know, my wife said something to me the other day, and I didn't say nothing back to her, but when I went to work, it made my whole day so much better. And she was talking to me, just a general conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, she says,
I'm just so proud of you. And I never twitched, but I twitched on the inside. I just couldn't let her see how much it did to me, but it made my life and my day so much better. But if I was foolish, and if I was of nonsense and craziness and madness, she doesn't feel that way. She has no reason to rejoice in her husband. She has no reason to rejoice in the God in her husband, because there isn't any when we behave a certain way. So I thank her. I'm on her rejoicing in Lord, but this is my way of saying thank you to God for my helpmate, for my best friend, for my everything. This is my way of rejoicing and saying thank you, Lord, because Christ and being in the world, I could have been with a schizophrenic, psychotic, bipolar, running from the law, running from the FBI, bomb throwing. I could have been with just madness and vice versa. But God only wants the best for us. So husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. I just had to share that. It's been in me. I just wanted to share because I want her to know that she's appreciated. And this is my way of saying it in front of people without people seeing me. This is my way of saying it and letting the world know that I love you, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. Amen. Before we close, let's go right back to shouting for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shouting triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's coming. He's coming. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. He's coming. Ah, rejoice. Hallelujah. The book of Luke chapter 10:20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Ha ha! Rejoice that our names. Rejoice always, the book of Thessalonians says. Rejoice always. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 2:1. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against mine enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want us to get into a place of walking around just rejoicing. You know, without the drums going, without the keyboard, rejoice with your praise dance. Rejoice with your song. Rejoice with holy hands lifted high. Holler out, scream his name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Let the world know who you serve. Let the world know, even in my pain and my despair, my knees hurt, back hurt, eye hurt, headache. Oh, I'm going to rejoice on a limb, but I'm going to rejoice. I got a cold, but I'm going to rejoice in my heart. I'm going to put up holy hands. I'm going to shake them. That's my rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced. And God, my Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for giving us the strength, the wisdom, and the understanding of rejoicing in you. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This has been your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. And I want to thank all our listeners, supporters, friends, family, anybody that's out there listening. God loves you. Just rejoice his name. Just rejoice in him. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about how foolish it may look. Because I know if it was a man and you want to try to get that young lady, you don't mind looking foolish. And vice versa. I have no problem rejoicing for the Lord. And I'm all man. I don't care what you think about me. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for what you've allowed us to do today. We thank you for coming into our homes early and walking with us and talking with us and guiding us to the end of a beautiful day. We thank you, God, that you have been in the midst of this beautiful day that we have had. We thank that you have directed our path and touched the hearts of the people before us. We thank you that you have saturated our minds with wisdom and understanding and power and caring for one another. And Father, because you are who you are by yourself, we praise your name. We thank you and glorify you, and we lift you up. Now, Father, as we wind down this evening, we ask you to come and sit and have dinner with us, sit and have fellowship with us, come in our presence, Father, and just have your way in our lives. We trust and believe that you're already here, and we just ask you, Lord, to continue to be a part of our life, and let us continue part of yours. We've said this prayer this evening. Thus saith the Lord, we love you, Father. Thus saith the Lord, we love you, Father. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thus saith this household, in Jesus' name, the McNeils confess our love for you. In Jesus' name, we ask you to bless our family, friends, and loved ones, and most of all, our enemies. Thank you, we thank you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, we've made this prayer, and we say, amen. Hallelujah.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
Good night, everyone, and God bless.